We're going to look at a verse that's familiar to most of you, but it's worthy of looking at it again. It's the 10th verse. It starts off saying, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The Amplified brings it out this way: "The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life." Several weeks ago, I was awake in the middle of the night, and the Lord spoke to me very, very clearly, and he said, "If you're not enjoying life, you're not in my will. You're out of my will." And then he brought me to this scripture. I never had thought of it that way ever before, but it's so. He says here in the Amplified, "I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows." Now, what I want to talk to you tonight about is that that's not an automatic. You have to possess that verse. It's his will. He came, he says he came that we might have abundant life, but you have to take possession of it. And so tonight I want to talk to you about your words and how they direct your life. Your words and how they direct your life. You are where you are today because of the sum total of the words that you've been speaking. And we're going to look at scripture to show us that. In Deuteronomy 30, turn with me over there. The 30th chapter. Again, another portion of scripture that you've probably been familiar with. We're going to look at verse 19 and 20. God saying here, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." So if you look at that, blessing comes with life, the cursing comes with death. But then he goes on to say, "Therefore, choose life." You see, you have to choose life. And how do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We do that predominantly by the words we say. And again, we're going to look at scripture that supports that. He says, "Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice." So here's a key right here. Obedience to his word is going to be a part of that. And obeying his word, James says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. So it's not enough to just come to church and to hear the word. Bible says that faith must have some corresponding actions with it. It's not enough to just say, "Well, I believe and I have all this faith. I believe the Bible." But do you do anything about what you believe? If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, have you done anything about that? It's not enough to just have mental knowledge, but you must do something about that. And we know you have to receive Jesus to do that, to make that personal to us. So it's conditional. Here, right here, God says, "Therefore, you choose life." You could choose death. And there are many people that do. There are many people that choose that. They say, "I'm all set." You know, they'll tell you all sorts of different things. That's why we need to be not acting or coming across as religious, because they'll say, "Well, I'm all set with religion. I'm not religious." So you got to have a better response than just coming at them with a scripture or something. You know, they need to see it demonstrated in your life. Proverbs 18, another scripture that you're familiar with, but let's put our eyeballs on it. Let's read this one as if it's the first time we've ever looked at it before. Sometimes we can get so familiar with scriptures that, "Oh, I know that one," and it just goes over our head, you know. Let's look at that. Proverbs 18, and in the 21st verse, it says, "Death and life are in the power Well, the authority of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power or the authority of your tongue. So again, you are where you are today because of the sum total of things you've been saying. Have you been saying the right things? Have you been saying good things? Or does every now and then some bad things come up? And you can talk with people and you can kind of locate what they believe in their heart, because Jesus said, we're going to look at that scripture in a moment, that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. That's a spiritual law. And so it's not hard for us to tell when we come across an unbeliever, because their mouth is all over the place. But even amongst Christians, those that say they're born again, you'll be able to tell how far they've advanced in the kingdom of God by what they say. Because when you're a baby Christian and you first got born again, you didn't know much about what to say at all. And so you had to what? You had to be transformed from that worldly system to God's kingdom by the renewing of your mind. And that's what we do when we get into the Word of God. So remember this, your words direct your life, either good or bad. Your words direct your life. So here's the thing. We can choose good words, which would be God's word, and we can release his power to bring his blessings and the good things to us, or we could choose bad words that are contrary to God's word. And when you do that, you're allowing Satan an open door to come in and to control and to bring destruction, to bring calamity, to bring loss, lack, sickness, disease, to bring the bad things. So really, Satan can't destroy you of his own power. He doesn't have that power, that kind of power, or he'd have annihilated all of mankind. So he can't do that. He has to get you to cooperate. That's why he had to get Eve to cooperate with him. God had given Adam instruction to tend the garden, to keep it, to protect it, guard it. And so that didn't happen, and so now we know the rest of the story. But we still have to abide and live by the laws, the spiritual laws that God has set up. And one of them is death and life are in the power of your tongue. You can't get around that law. Now, what you can do, you can't change that, but you can change the words you speak, which will bring vastly different results to you. So remember, it's up to us to choose the right words to say. And you know, my wife and I, if one or the other is saying something that might not be quite, you know, uplifting or whatever, we stop each other and say, you know, watch what you're saying, you know, watch what you don't really want that, you know, because, you know, that generally happens on days when you haven't started out in the Word of God. Seriously. When you start with the Word of God, you're kind of pumped for the day. But when you avoid that, or not avoid, but just things get busy. Remember Martha, she got real busy and troubled about much things. And Mary sat down to the Word. Well, Jesus said that Mary has chosen the good thing. So you're taking time to get into the Bible is a good thing. And God's not going to take that away from you. He's going to reward you for that. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here since we're in Proverbs. Back up to chapter 4. Don't have a real long message tonight, but it's a real important one. It's a refresher. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24, his instruction to us here is put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. So what is a deceitful mouth? The Amplified says put away a false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk, put it far from you. Contrary to what? To the Word of God. When you're speaking things that don't line up with God's Word, you're facing trouble. You're headed for trouble. You're speaking things and it gets the momentum going for those things, and seed time and harvest is still with us. That's another spiritual law in Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remains, well, we're still here. And so seed time and harvest, that means seeds. The words you speak are seeds. Remember in Mark chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 8, Jesus was teaching on that parable of the sower, and he said that the seed was the word of God. But that would be the good word that goes into your heart, into a good man's heart. He'll bring out good treasure. But what about when you're putting in other things that aren't of God? Well, we're going to see over in Matthew chapter 12, what he says happens there. So how do we make sure that only good words come out of our mouth? That's a valid question. How do I do this? Well, it's based on what you put inside your heart. Just another scripture, Proverbs chapter 6. Just turn a page, probably. Another one that talks about the words of your mouth and how it's going to bring you trouble. Verse 2, it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth. A snare is a trap. And so you're trapped. And so if you don't realize that you're trapped and you keep speaking those things, things are going to come up in your life that aren't good. And you're going to be wondering, well, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. Why are things happening? You know, there's a question that a lot of people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? And there's a whole lot of reasons to answer that. And we're not going to get into that tonight. But one of them is their big mouth. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but, I heard a preacher say one time that if you could kick in the rear the person responsible for all your calamity, you wouldn't be able to sit down for 2 weeks. We bring about our own things by the words that we speak. Again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's no other choices. You're either speaking the good things of God and bringing his goodness into your life, powerful words, faith-filled words, or you're speaking doubt and unbelief, words of calamity, words that are agreeing with doubt and unbelief of what God can do, and so you'll have those things. And people need to understand, their mouth is largely responsible for their problems. And God said over in Hosea 4:6 that my people, they're his people. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So if you don't have the knowledge of what words to say, you can be destroyed. Because you're going to be speaking something. How many know anybody that just doesn't talk? I mean, that doesn't happen. People talk all the time. So let's go over to Matthew 12 and see what Jesus said here. And again, this is really a reminder for most of you here tonight, but there's people listening online and they'll get a CD. You know, after the rapture, there's still going to be CDs left around here and somebody's going to get a hold of them. You know, my house is full of them. My office is full of them. Somebody's going to come across those things. And praise God, I hope they listen to them and find out, oh, that's what's going on, you know. So anyway, Matthew 12, and let's just read the whole thing here. Verse 33, we'll start. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Well, that makes sense. Here he is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then in verse 35, he tells us, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. What's the good treasure in a good man's heart? It's the word of God. That's the good treasure. The good treasure of God's word will produce all the good things that we need. It'll produce, we've had imparted into us the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's inside our spirit. That should come out. Love should be coming out of our mouth. Kind words should be coming out of our mouth. Gentle, self-awareness and self-control. So all of that, and our mouth is largely how we bring forth these fruit of the Spirit, our actions, and again, by what we say. Jesus went on to say here that an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So there's the scripture right there that tells you, Jesus said it, that if bad things are going on, then it's come out of the bad treasure in your heart. So it's a real easy fix. Change what's going into your heart. It's not difficult. It's not without, you might think somebody's too far gone. There's nobody too far gone, ever. They might be the worst of the worst, but they get a hold of God and get a hold of the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is alive. Matter of fact, hold your place in Matthew. Let's just bump over to Hebrews for a second in chapter 4. Because the Word of God is powerful. It's alive. Verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divisions of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Amplified says it this way, for the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It works for you, friend. It works for you. So back to Matthew 12. He told us that good treasure is coming out of the good man's heart. It's coming out of his mouth. Evil man, the evil treasure in his heart, it's coming forth out of his mouth, what he says. Verse 36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For you, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, in verse 36, we don't usually talk about, when we talk about words, we don't usually use idle there. So what does that mean? Well, the Amplified says that an idle word is an inoperative word. It's a non-working word. It's a faithless word. A word of doubt and unbelief would be an inoperative word. In other words, inoperative to bringing good things. Now, it will produce, but it's going to produce on the bad side of things. And so an idle word, here it says it non-productive. It's just not going to be non-productive in the good sense, but it will bring forth evil treasure. It's going to come out of the treasure of the person that has that in them. And again, when he says evil, it's not always that they're wicked and they're murdering and doing all these things. It's just that their words are perverse. They don't have the right words coming out of their mouth. And you've probably come across people and they've gotten saved, but they really never, got transformed, never really got their words, the Word of God in their heart. So therefore, what's in there, what's coming into you every day, because we have information coming at us 24/7. I mean, all the time in the airwaves. I mean, you might be sleeping, but the television and the newspaper and work and on and on and on, you've got information coming at you. And if that's your only diet of information, then you're going to probably be lacking of the good words that God's talking about here. Remember in Proverbs 23:7, let's just look at it. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. There's one translation that says, so he becomes. The things you think on. Okay, so now let's back up and from our words. Words come from thoughts first. When you read something, you're thinking about it, and then you'll respond by saying something. You read the newspaper, and you read it, and then you tell somebody. So everything starts with thoughts. And so here he says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you're putting in your heart is really who you are. And again, the world can see the sum total of who you are by what you've put in your heart. you know, for 20 years, 30 years, or however old you are, it's going to be obvious. So here's the thing. Think about what you're saying. I've said this before, and it's worthy of repeating. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Sometimes we ought to just slow down and listen, you know. Most people are good talkers, but they're not good listeners. And, you know, I've read under different business teaching and whatnot, and they say you need to learn to be a good listener if you're going to be a good salesperson. You know, you need to listen to what the person is telling you they want. Okay, so we need to be good listeners of the Word of God. We need to be good listeners when we're communicating with people. If you're trying to witness to somebody, listen to them, because more than likely they have issues in their life. Would you agree? They don't know God, and they think he's a billion miles away because they're in such a mess. But when you show them the goodness of God and begin to share with them how good he is and that what he's done for you, all of a sudden now they begin to take those thoughts and begin to process that, because you're giving them a good report of the Lord. We should be giving good testimony reports to the world. Amen? I think we should. So again, your words are directing your life. A few more scriptures and we'll bring it into a close. In Proverbs 16, there's a lot of wisdom here in Proverbs, and there's some good scriptures here that teach us some things and show us things. Verse 23 of Proverbs 16 says, "The heart of the wise teaches or instructs his mouth, and he adds learning to his lips." The heart of the wise. Well, who would be a wise person? That would be somebody that has got, again, he's not talking about man's wisdom, but talking about God's wisdom. Remember over in James, talks about man's wisdom, and that can be even devilish and demonic. But we're talking here about God's wisdom. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and he adds learning to his lips. That would be somebody that goes through Proverbs on a regular basis and extracts and applies to their own life the things that we see here. All right. Just drop down. I just saw this jump out at me. Verse 28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer or a gossiper separates the best of friends. I've highlighted a lot of these different ones just to, quickly find them and remind me when I'm reading through. Don't miss this one. It's an important one. In the 12th chapter, verse 18, it says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." There you go. There's a healing scripture right there. The tongue of the wise is telling you to get into the Word of God. That's the wisdom of God. It'll bring health. We know there's a lot of scriptures that God has given to us that will help us. 24, I have highlighted, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." How about chapter 13, verse 2? "A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth." So if you've got good things coming out of your mouth, that's going to be beneficial to your life. That'll take you places. I mean, in the business world, wherever, not just talking about here in church, when you have good things coming out of your mouth, people will respect you. People will honor you. People will listen to you. You'll have a voice in their life. But if you're always bringing perverse things and negative things, and I mean, how many just like to be around a downer where everything's just a problem and everybody's, you know, they're always complaining? It's like you can't take them for very long. Just make your skin crawl. Why? Because we've got the Word of God in us, and that just repels, you know, the things of God. I don't know. Like I said, it makes my skin crawl. You know, stop complaining. You know, thank God that you're breathing. You know, if you're talking, then you're breathing. So thank God. Start there. Start there. Last scripture we're going to look at is over in Psalms. It's kind of a sums up the whole thing. Psalm 19. I think it's 19. I'll let you know when I get there. Yeah. Psalm 19 and verse 14. This really spoke to me when I, every time I come across it. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You know, it's the way we want to be in front of the Lord. That's the way we want to live our lives. And then he ends there saying, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? We'll close in prayer.